When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
We give our predictions on who will break out for the Auburn Tigers this football season. Let's talk about it on this live edition of the Uptempo Podcast.
You are now listening to the War Report Podcast Network.
Yes, sir. War Damn Eagle, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good week, man. I'm your host, Dustin Smith, joined as always by my guy, Blake Lane. Blake, the boys are off this week. They had 2 days of practice, took a week off, going to come back, and next week they're going to get in them pads. So we are here to talk about some football tonight, brother. But first off, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. The basketball team, they're about to tip off here within the hour, and, a big-time game. Alabama is currently getting beat down in Gainesville right now at half, so that's always a plus. And, you know, just the excitement around the football program, Dustin. I'm just excited, and I look on Twitter today, and I see some of the media members around the SEC. They kind of got some good things to say about the Auburn Tigers, you know. They got good things to say about the coaching staff that Hugh brought in. They got good things to say about the recruiting efforts that this staff is doing. And they got good things to say about the head coach. So that is one thing that has me really excited for year two. And then I just look at the schedule. And when I look at the schedule and what the opportunity brings at home and having those things stack up the way they do on the front end of that schedule, I don't know how you can't be excited. I mean, you got a chance to be 5-0 going to Athens, Georgia, and you would have a quality win over Oklahoma in their first year in the SEC. I'm excited, brother.
I hear you. That's really interesting that you say that, because there's a lot of different opinions on the schedule. I've heard people say they think it's harder than last year's. I've heard, you know, you say that you think it's one of the easiest ones we've had in a little bit. I think that really kind of what throws you off there is Missouri. You look at Missouri and it's like, is Missouri going to do what they did last year? I don't know, you know, as far as Missouri goes. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some time in the offseason. I think that I don't expect them to be what they were last year, but I'm not expecting a 6-6 type season either. So that one's going to be tough. As long as Stoops is at Kentucky, it's not a pushover. And we've gone in there and in our best of years and really had to eke out dubs, right? So that one's not easier. Yeah, that's really going to be interesting. What is Oklahoma going to be coming to the SEC? Are they going to be the Oklahoma that we've all kind of grown up Oklahoma being? So will they kind of be – will it just be like you didn't really get rid of LSU type thing? You just put in another 5-star to your program, like, to get any – like, but we'll see with that. To me, that part is kind of TBD, because just how ready is Oklahoma to play SEC football? You know, a couple of Oklahoma fans that I've spoke with have all been like, have you seen our record versus the SEC? And my argument to that is, well, if you get a month off and then you get to wait for us and prep for us in a bowl game, yeah, you might slip up and get us. I think our argument is always, yeah, we play LSU, and then in 2 or 3 weeks we play Georgia, and then in 3 or 4 weeks we play Alabama. And really, for the duration of Auburn's history, we've played Georgia and then Alabama the next week. So we've always kind of had a legitimate gripe when it comes to all that. But I'm really interested to see kind of how some of them teams fare, where all this falls. First year in our life, Blake, where there's no divisions. How does all that kind of play out? Auburn not playing a team from Mississippi, Louisiana, or Florida all in the same season.
Weird.
weird, bro. Like, just strange, strange times. Y'all could have kept Mississippi State on that thing, but they could have kept State on there. I had no beef with that one.
We don't play Florida enough. As great as that rivalry is, we don't play them enough. Don't forget about what Vanderbilt brought through the transfer portal and everything they did in the offseason. So that's going to be a tough one.
Oh, man. I know. Somebody said that to me on Twitter because I was like, all right, on my NCAA dynasty mode, I got a list. I said, I'm coming after New Mexico State. I'm coming after Virginia. I don't even care because it's basketball. And Florida State can get it, too. And then and Penn State, you're on there as well. And then somebody was like, well, you worry about New Mexico State. Vanderbilt's already on there. And the guy that got us will be leading the Commodores. So we'll see how all that goes, man. I just think that that night was, well, obviously one of the worst nights in Jordan Hare in a long time. But I don't think – hopefully – that's one that we were able to kind of put behind us, and we'll always look at it like, I don't know what the hell happened there, but I'm hoping that that's not the future of Auburn football, man. But Blake,
hopefully we're laughing about it like Alabama laughs at Louisiana Monroe now. Hopefully that's what it brings. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm, you know, my girlfriend's first ever game, Auburn really put me in a hole there, bro. They put me in a hole. I'm trying to tell her like, hey, this is the route. This is the path.
That's so bad.
She's like, no, I like the Buccaneer games better.
Nah, bro. I remember your Twitter. Two people were like, she's not allowed back. And I was just like, no, come on.
Oh, no. It had over 500,000 impressions because I set myself up. I tweeted a picture of me at rookie mistake and just trusting Auburn to beat New Mexico State, which I'll never trust you sons of bitches again. But I take a picture of me and my girlfriend that those that don't know, and I put first ever game, first ever weekend in Auburn. She's having an awesome time. Let's get this dub. She gets to do her first tumors roll, and let's complete the mission. And by halftime, I'm getting mission failed, big dog. And I had no clapbacks. I was like, I literally walked into this one. And it was funny because people were like, I was just kind of responding like really short. You know, I was like, yeah, haha. And people were like, man, you really keep taking this kind of hard, bro. Like, I was like, nah, the jokes are funny. I'm pissed off about the game. Y'all think I'm mad about y'all roasting me. I deserve to get roasted. Roast me all day. But I'm pissed off now because I just sat there and watched what I watched. So
that's a fact.
And you can't shake that one. I'm going to holler at y'all before we get in here, man, and kind to we're going to talk about some guys, Blake, that we think are going to break out.
Yeah,
we've talked a lot about the freshman class, so we kind of want to go with some guys that have been on campus, maybe shown some flashes for a little bit, but guys that we think the potential is there. Before we do, I want to get over and holler at the people. Our guy Brett says, Dustin, I took a buddy to his first game, that very same one. Maybe he jinxed it. Listen, dude, I know of our guy Thomas, I think he took his girlfriend to that game as well for her first game. Like, there was a lot of firsts, bro, because what happens is, what you do is if you're trying to take somebody to their first, that's the game you pick. Like, I'm not going to take you to Auburn, Alabama right now, or, you know, Auburn, Ole Miss right now. When Auburn gets right, we'll do that for sure. Like, because that's the atmosphere and all that. But I don't want your first game to be one I'm not sure if we're going to win. You know, I definitely wouldn't take anybody there first. If you took somebody their first game to Penn State, Harsin's year, that's your fault. You know, me and my brother went to that one, and we had black clothes packed for halftime because we knew funeral probably coming. But Brett, it happened to a lot of people, dude. It happened to a lot of people. And funny thing, bro, is like me and the girlfriend were seeing a lot of L's. We got like five or six deep in different sporting events for teams we were pulling for, and just saw one at a minor league hockey game last week. So we think that the curse is broke, bro. I don't know. But listen, man, as a guy, Brett, listen. Before Brian Harsin, no BS, I was 20-something and 0 in Jordan Hare. Seen some losses on the road. Seen a loss in Baton Rouge. Saw one in Athens. But had never experienced anything like that at home. And had been in some close ones. Had been into Mississippi State, Gus's first year, CJ Uzuma down to the wire. The Florida game back in the day with Trey and all that. Been in some tight ones, right? The Washington State game the first year,
That was a good one.
Of Gus's year. I mean, they were on the goal line about to win the game. That's a game that's so forgotten because of the kick six and the Hail Mary. But those first two games, Washington State and Mississippi State, Gus's first season, those were nail biters as well. I was in there for those, and I started to feel invincible. I was like, bro, I don't lose when I go. Oh, Tigers are cool. I'm pulling up. And then Penn State happened under Potato Head. And I saw us beat UMass. And I think I'm like 1-7 in my last. Yeah,
that was a hell of a win.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That was a hell of a win. Like, we were booging so hard after we beat UMass last year.
Yeah, for sure. And what sucks, Blake, is, you know, I was on the day of Mississippi State this year. I was like, it's my birthday. Am I going? I'm not going up there because I'm not watching Auburn lose on my birthday. I'm not going to do it. I'll just sit here at home. And then Auburn comes out and is like, are we going to ball today, baby? Dustin ain't here. Let's go. Let's throw darts today. PT looked around. He saw that I wasn't in there. He said, okay, here we go. Connie says, War Eagle, guys. What's up, Connie? You're always here. You're always rocking with us. We appreciate you. Our guy Chris is in the building. Brett says, that was the first game my daughter witnessed him lose. We've been to softball and gymnastics. Yeah, it's tough. Softball been a little tough. Been a little tough lately as well. Yeah, Our guy Daniel Denny says, Cam Coleman. Simple enough. I like it, Blake.
It's a good one. when you watch the videos and you see the pictures, I think that one will play. I think that's a hell of a name.
Yeah. So let's get into it, man. We want to talk about some guys that we think are really going to kind of break out. We got a couple guys that we're going to name, and then me and Blake both kind of agree on one guy in particular. And it's not like a big surprise, but we'll kind of spend our second segment really just talking about our big expectations for him this year. But I'll go first, Blake. I'm going to go on the defensive side. I'm going to go with Daron Reed. You know, a guy that got hurt, big time freshman recruit last year. Gets hurt early on in the season in practice and doesn't get his opportunity to kind of get in there and make a name for himself until bowl practice. Got some reps in the bowl game, got a good look, and I heard some good things about him in bowl practice. And I'm going with Reed, one, because I think he's a talented player. When he was coming out of high school, he was top 100 everywhere you looked. But also, it's about position and need. You know, and you know, because we were talking the day before we did it, I was going to originally go with Tyler Johnson, the offensive lineman. He'll be a redshirt freshman next year. But I look at Tyler Johnson, and the kind of the feedback I'm getting is he's going to be a guy, he's going to be starting the season kind of like Connor Lue was last year, where he's like that sixth man. They're really impressed with him. He's made a lot of leaps. They love where he's at already as a redshirt freshman. They like him to play the tackle spot, and if they're already – trusting you like that as a redshirt freshman, man, that really says something. So I'm really high on Tyler Johnson, but the position of need at defensive line is so much greater that both my guys are on defense, and then our final one's going to be on offense. But my first one is going to be Reed, because I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to have the opportunity, and he's needed. You got to be a guy, bro. We already talked about some of them freshmen, Malik Blocked and maybe TJ Lindsey. Some of them guys got to be that guy. But some of them guys that came in on that last class, they got to be ready to go right now. And I think they're the year that Reed needs to have, they're a little bit different type of players. But Reed needs to have the kind of year, Blake, that Keldrick Falk had last year. Just come in, make a name for yourself. And by the time we get to game 12, you're looking at Reed and you're going, there's a redshirt freshman that we got some more years of eligibility with, and he's building a nice future. So that's going to be my first one.
My first one. I'm staying on the defensive side of the football, and I'm going with Caleb Wooden, the safety. All right, and I know we brought the Thompson kid from Texas and everything, but when I talked to Simp at the Senior Bowl, Dustin, he had nothing but great things to say. I said, who is your guy that can be the next breakout star? Obviously, we know Keontae Scott is in that discussion, but he brought up Caleb's name. And I was like, okay, well, you know, go a little deeper with that. Let me know why. And Simp told me, he was like, it's football IQ. And he was like, this is one of the smartest players I know at the position. He was like, I had a big problem with hesitation. Simp told me, he was like, sometimes I hesitate a little bit too much, and I'm just a day late. If I wouldn't have hesitated, he said, and Caleb's always there to tell me, hey, bro, go make the play. Don't hesitate. You know what you're supposed to do. Go make it. And he was like, and if you watch Caleb will come down. He will hit you. He tackles well. He's got a nose for the football. Has a couple picks last year. You know, he was young. He didn't start. but it's a position where he could make a name for himself, because you lose two guys there last year. And you lose Zion Puckett and Jay Simp. So I think this is a spot where he could step up. And, you know, the Thompson kid, yeah, he's a veteran and everything, but Caleb Wooden could make a name for himself at that position, Dustin.
Yeah, and our guy Charlie Five, I listened to him today. He's real high on Caleb because he likes that number change. Our guy Caleb going from 12 to 21. He said, Charlie said, get off that quarterback number and get to a number where people believe that you can hit. Greg, you have a very good question in the comments. We'll definitely get to that after this segment, buddy. My second guy, Blake, Sylvester Smith. And this one is, you know, Hugh's been kind of open about how high he is on Sylvester Smith. But there's a lot of guys when you look at that young defensive back there that we're going to need to step up, whether it be Terrence Love, you know, Tyler Scott comes to mind, Champ Anthony, Colton Hood, does he get reps? There's a lot of names back there. You know that I'm really high on JD, and I think he's going to have a great season.
Yep.
But I just think that for Sylvester, football IQ is a lot of what I hear. A guy that likes to put his face mask at people's chest. He likes to separate them from the ball, kind of that old school style safety. And a guy that, you know, his recruitment just surprised me so much, because when he was going to Tennessee, I was aware of his game, and I'm like, man, that's a steal right there. And we'd always kind of been in conversations with him, but it was never like we were never the front runner or the favorite, and you were never hearing like Auburn's in the lead for Sylvester Smith. And then it's just bang, we flipped him. And then I really started kind of watching the tape on him and stuff, and I'm like, this guy is an absolute dog. And then when I hear feedback from people that will know, when they say, hey, Sylvester Smith, Monday through Friday, is doing all the right things. And, you know, we just did our whole episode on culture, so I'm not going to bring up all those same talking points tonight. But, like, that's the big thing, right? Like, that's the lens I'm looking through this year. Football-wise, dude, whether I pick Auburn to go 4-8 or 7-5 is really going to depend on what information I get about internal behavior throughout the summer. It won't have a whole lot to do with scheme and all that kind of stuff, because I just feel like this team is, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, right? But I feel like this team is young, so on and so forth. So, like, you know, their ceiling is only so much. But a lot of how I feel about the way this year is going to go is because we heard it all last year, Blake, and me and you still tried to sunshine pump it and boog and spin it and be like, it'll work out. And then, but people behind the scenes were telling us, bro, X, Y, and Z, you know, 2 + 2 is not going to equal 7 on game day. And we found that out. So as far as all that goes, you know, I'm looking at just how these next 2 or 3 months kind of play out. But Sylvester Smith is a guy that everybody says, this guy's doing everything right, bro. This guy's doing everything right. So when you're doing everything right, and then you can combine it with the skill set, that's when I'm going to say, all right, let's go. And a guy that kind of came on in practice as the season went on last year, you know, really another name that you kind of heard a lot in bowl practice. If I remember correctly, Hugh mentioned him in a press conference at one point during bowl practice as a guy that was standing out. And I'm sure a lot of y'all probably seen the video of Hugh baptizing him in the season. So I would imagine they have probably a pretty close personal connection there as well. I'm not saying that's why he's going to get on the field, right? But, like, you know, head coach loves him, head coach believes in him, that kind of thing. So I think big, big things are going to happen for Sylvester Smith this year, because the opportunity is there. And and a lot of this stuff, when it comes to the secondary, it's like you got Charles Kelly and Wes McGriff back there, and there's not a lot of experience to fall on. You mentioned Caleb. He's kind of – that's a good pick because he's got the most experience. Everybody else, there's not – it's going to be best man – it's going to be best man wins, Blake.
Yes.
And I think Sylvester's going to come out on top.
My second pick, I will come over here to the offensive side of the ball. And one of my favorites, if you've been with us since last year, you know this is my guy, Caleb Burton, at the wide receiver position. He come on strong at the end of last season. I had a preseason pick last year that he would have 30 receptions. I think he ended with 16, I believe. 15 or 16. And That was in the last 4 or 5 games of the season, okay? And I think he is a shifty route runner. I think he's got great hands. I think he finds ways to get open. Separation's there. My biggest thing with him is I think they have a feel for him that you saw in the bowl game to move Caleb on the outside. Can he adjust to going outside and play in that position? Because he was mostly in the slot last year, and then you saw him in the bowl game. He had the big reception downfield. I think he can. I think he's going to be one of Auburn's best wide receivers. I'm really big on Caleb Burton. It's just his athleticism, bro, and the way he can get open and how shifty he is and his hands. Like, I think that's an underrated part of Caleb's game is I don't see drops from Caleb. Like, he's sure-handed. And I think he can play a huge part in this offense to free some things up. Who knows, man? You have him on one side and you got a Cam Coleman on the other. That could be deadly. I mean, that's a hell of a duo right there. And then, you know, you got a Jay Fair. You got a Bryce Kane in the slot. You know, we're not even talking about Robert Lewis either. We just bring him up. This thing could be, it could be deadly. And Caleb's a dude, man. Caleb's a dude. I think you're going to see double the production that you saw last year.
That's a very good pick. And here at the Uptempo Podcast, we always say stars do matter.
And absolutely.
Caleb was a five-star. He's in his third year of college football.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of started to come on in the second half of his first season, actually kind of being in the mix last year. So all things line up. I think he gave two very good picks, Blake. But the guy that me and you both said when we were texting today, and then we just kind of had our whole side conversation, like, this guy might really be the guy, though. And I'm going to get over here, man, because our boy Jeremiah Cobb, Blake, me and you just, as we kind of been talking these last couple weeks, I feel like we've kind of been scared to say what we really want to say. So I'm not going to speak for you totally on this. I'll let you know, obviously, say your part. But I'll say, bro, we're looking at these freshman numbers, 33 carries, 172 yards, 5.2 yards per carries for two touchdowns. He added in seven receptions, 47 yards, and two touchdowns as well. A lot of those kind of came in the red zone. And, you know, we've talked recently about how he is the best pass blocker, and it's probably Damari second and then Jarquez third. And I think we're in a position, Blake, where one, I think Jeremiah Cobb is the most talented running back in that room. I just think he is. I think just from when you look at his whole game, top to bottom, complete game, I think Jeremiah Cobb is the best. And I'm not saying that he's the best today, but most talented. You know, if one day when they do Madden ratings, you're going to see Jeremiah Cobb in there, and he's going to be rated higher than any of these other guys is what I'm saying. And I don't know if anybody else in this room is going to make it to the NFL. If we're talking about Jarquez specifically because he's kind of next up. You got to learn to pass block this year, brother, because you're a senior. You got to learn to pass block, and you got to get better at catching this ball out the backfield. Because Hugh Freeze is not in the position now, and I'm not knocking Jarquez. And I know people are going to be in the comments and say, well, what about Damari? I love Damari. I think Damari's a dog, and I think that he's not scared to pass block. There's some highlights we can pull up with Damari lighting some people up on pass block. I'm just talking about down in, man, every, you know, down in, down out. Third down and five. Third down and seven. What running back do you want in there in shotgun protecting your quarterback? To me, it's Jeremiah Cobb. And I think that Hugh Freeze is in a position this year where if Jeremiah has a good spring and then has a good fall camp and takes that next progression, I don't think Hugh is going to be in a position, Blake, where he can say, okay, well, I got to start Jarquez and Damari, or they got to get more carries because they have more experience or because they're the upperclassmen. Mm-hmm. That's not going to fly at any position this year. I mean, people don't want to hear it at quarterback anymore. It's not going to fly at running back, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Jarquez had stretches last year where he was great. So, again, I don't want this to be a thing of – Jarquez isn't good, or Damari isn't good, or Batie isn't good. Jeremiah Cobb is just the most talented running back in that room, and I think that this year he's going to make that step, and there's going to be games where I'm willing to bet where he has a good drive, and they decide this time, let's not pull him off the field. Yep. Because we saw it last year. He got kind of going, and then you wouldn't see him the rest of the game. And we're in the post game going, well, I tell you, he did look pretty good. The three times he touched the ball was that Jeremiah Cobb freshman kid. He looked pretty damn good. I just don't think that's going to happen this year, Blake. I think that when he has those drives, I think they're going to keep giving him touches because I don't think they're going to be positioned otherwise. And I think he's going to earn it, man. I think he's taking jobs, bro. I think he's coming for everybody's job. Like,
so I think Jeremiah Cobb is a guy that not only can he run the football, but you can split him outside and you can throw the football to him. You can use him as a receiver. He can run the angle route and he can be deadly. You just get the ball in space to him and he's that guy. He can make you miss, you know, and if he's that type of guy that if he makes you miss the first one, look out, it could be a house call. He's that talented. Like you mentioned, the pass pro and him in on third downs, I think he sets up well in the screen game. I feel like we didn't do that enough last year. You know, I've kept screaming and screaming and screaming, where's Jeremiah Cobb in the screen game? Where's Jeremiah Cobb in the screen game? You know, and I see Batty and everything. And look, I love Damari. I love Jarquez. But I'm right here with Dustin. I think Jeremiah Cobb is the most talented back in the room. And you can't tell me any different because he's just a complete back. He has no holes in his game. He holds on to the football. That's a problem we were having last year. We lose the football, and Jeremiah Cobb holds on to the ball. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can block. He was a freshman picking up blitzes just like it was nothing.
Money down. Third down's money down, bro. You got no time for BS on third down.
Come on. All right? And like I said, you can split him out and use him as a receiver, and he can catch the football. He can catch the football, and if he gets it out in space one-on-one, it's lights out. Like, bye-bye. And he's a house call, bro. That's how good he is. Look, I don't – if I'm not going to say he's as electric, but he gives me – I mean, it is really hard to be one of the greatest of all time. So I'm not making this comparison, but he gives me Reggie Bush vibes, bro. Like just the shiftiness, the quickness, the one cut and bam, explosiveness, him being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm not saying he's that electric or, you know, he's Reggie because that's probably one of the greatest we've ever seen. But he just gives me those vibes of being that guy to just change a game. That's what I like about Jeremiah Cobb. I think he's just different in every aspect of the game. And I think he's got to be on the field more. Bro, if you want to win this year, you got to put your best on the field. Point blank, period. You got to put the guys on the field. And like Dustin said, there was times last year where Jeremiah was pure hooping. And then we would go two quarters without seeing him. And you would just be like, hey, where did Cobb go? Like, he just busted a run for 6-7 yards. And he hasn't touched the ball in two quarters. Like, what's going on here? I don't know if that was a Phillip Montgomery thing, but something's got to change, brother, because Cobb's got to be on the field.
Yeah, that's going to be that's my big question that I have when I look at a lot of what went on last year. Okay, well, how did that work? Because the offense was a mess. So was it because we were running the two different offenses and one guy felt one way and there just never was this, you know, this cohesive idea of what was really going on offense? And Greg makes a good point. He says that Free seems to be a real running back by committee as opposed to Gus, who would run their legs off. Definitely agree with you, bro. Like, our guy tried to run carry on in the freaking ground.
No,
in 2017. Yeah, I mean,
no,
yeah,
he did. Ruined his career.
Yeah. I have a pretty good idea as to what happened to Trey Mason's mental. Gus Malzahn gave that man the ball 40 freaking times in a game once and then tried to justify it by saying he asked him. Like, okay, what's he going to say, man? But listen, I'll say this, Greg. I agree with you, and I do agree that that's the right approach. I think it got two by committee last year because when Jarquez was hot last year, thinking back to a three-game stretch he had where he really got going, I think it started at the Ole Miss game. In all three of those games, he never had over 20 carries. And I'm all for running back by committee, but I don't like looking up and seeing 17 carries, 94 yards. Yeah. That will piss me off. You couldn't give this ball, the guy the ball 7-8 more times? Yeah, you could have. This is running back university. If there's a guy toting that pill, then you turn around and you hand him that rock until they stop it.
Yep.
So, yes, don't have to use a guy 30, 40, 50 times in a game like Gus Malzahn would do. And you have guys in Damari and Jeremiah and Batie and Jarquez. You have a four guys that you're like, hey, man, I've seen all of these guys perform in SEC moments. All four of them. I mean, Batie was the best running back on the field versus A&M that day.
Yeah.
So he's showing you something. So you got faith in any of those guys if they get called upon. So I'm fine with it. But feed that hot hand, man. Feed that hot hand. And don't go away from him for drives. Like, we would go, and then we wouldn't give Jarquez the ball for 15 plays. And I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
He's averaging 6.2 yards a carry. He's up to 12 carries right now for 60-something. Let's go. Let's go. And it would go. It would get away from it. I just think that this year, I think it'll still be a by-committee approach. But in that committee, Jeremiah Cobb going to be at least number two. And that's what me and Blake are both saying. Yep. I think when you look at it by the end of the year, as far as total touches, I'm gonna give Jarquez a nod because, like, he's the senior, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So he'll be your starter and all that. But I'm just saying, man, that by game 12, the running back with the second most touches in that room will be Jeremiah Cobb. And then my hope is that you go into 2025, you're looking at a Cobb and a Coleman and a Perry, and you're starting to see weapons that you've recruited. That would be nice. That would be great. That would be sweet. We'll talk about running back soon. We'll do some recruiting stuff soon because we got to add, bro. We got to get some bodies in there. And I did see, speaking on this, I did see somebody say, mention some transfer portal when it came to the running back. I'm sorry. I thought I started. I didn't. But I do think that whoever comes out fourth, it was somebody said Batie. I'm sorry that I'm missing your comment, whoever you were. Somebody mentioned that thing. Batie is going to go. I think it was Connie. But that's very likely. I mean, he flirted with the portal already, right? And I'm like, I wonder why he came back. I wonder what they told him. Because it's just a stacked situation. Kickoff returns. How many reps do you really get at even doing that in today's football? Like, you rarely even get to return the freaking kick anymore. It's really just a ceremonial act that we do because people think that football is not about you don't get hurt and play. I don't know what the hell.
Have you seen that they're trying to – they're, like, flirting with the idea of changing the NFL kickoff to the XFL where it's just 5 yards of separation and you can't move until – the ball is touched.
Yeah, I got this crazy idea where we just play football the way that we were doing it for decades.
Come on, man.
I think we should just do that. I think we should just kick the ball off. And, man, was Devin Hester not one of the funnest things you've ever seen?
Thank you, bro.
Was he not one of the funnest things you've ever seen in football, bro. Devin Hester? Like,
hey, if you're scared, take a knee in that end zone, dog. Period. All right, that's all you got to do. If you don't want to return that thing, take a knee in the end zone. Or they got the rule now where you can just, hey, fair catch. All right, I don't feel like doing it. All right, but what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, we're all about changing rules now, bro. It's a gladiator sport. All right, if you don't want to get hurt, then don't sign up to play it. Period. Like, because it's gonna happen. Injuries are gonna happen in football. That's how I feel.
I really agree with you, dude. It just gets to that point where it's like, hey, what are we doing? You know, I didn't play college ball or anything, but, like, I had surgery twice on my intestines when I was a kid. I had a blockage in my intestines from a car wreck. And then my grandfather also around the same time, like, broke his neck, was paralyzed, couldn't move neck down the rest of his life. I say all that to say, like, I had a lot of things in my brain when I decided to play football. Like, okay, I saw how Paw ended up with a neck injury. And then, like, doctors were telling me, hey, man, if you get hit in the stomach, it could be serious, bro. Like, we had to put your intestines back together. I understood all that and played. Now, again, I just played on the high school level. I wasn't worth a damn ride. I'm not claiming to be anything like that.
Yeah.
But just the psyche. Like, my dad had a conversation with me at 15. He was like, hey, this is what happens to you when you want to play this game. Okay. And then like, yeah. And like I remember the second day of practice, the kid getting seriously hurt and like never playing again, like seriously hurt in Oklahoma drills. It's not a game, man. Like the point I'm making is these guys know that, and I'm all for player safety, but when you get to the point to where kickoffs are non-existent or landing on the quarterback is roughing the passer, what am I supposed to, I'm 320 pounds. I'm falling down on the guy. What do you want me to do? And then I hear the quarterback after the game that got the flag say that was a terrible call and I didn't even want it.
Yeah. Do you remember, real quick, just throwing this out there, do you remember? All right, everybody wants to talk about getting hurt on kickoffs and everything like that. All right. Let me tell you something. I remember the 2006 National Championship game, Ohio State, Florida. Ohio State was supposed to run Florida out the building. Troy Smith, quarterback, Ted Ginn Jr. at receiver, that Ohio State defense and everything like that. Do you remember Ted Ginn ran the opening kickoff back?
Yeah.
All right. He didn't get hurt by getting hit, dog. He broke his ankle celebrating in the end zone. Like, that was it. All right. So he didn't get a concussion or anything from getting hit, or he didn't break his arm or anything like that. Bro literally was celebrating and bang. Like, that's it. Injuries, they happen, man. They happen.
Yeah. Brett says, we used to be told to walk it off, put ice on it, rub some dirt on it. We absolutely loved it and did not care about hitting or getting hurt. Greatest sport ever. Brett, I hear you, brother, but you're talking about a day and age when people played bowl games because they viewed it like their team still had a game to play and it still counted on their record. So, times are different, man. It's different. And if you even kind of bring it up now, people will come out and attack you for being anti-player and all this kind of stuff. It's really wild. But we're definitely going to we're in discussions now about kind of getting some guys on from outside the Auburn network and just kind of talking about a lot of these issues that are facing college football and the sport of football in general, because we think it's at a crucial point right now where it can really go one way or the other. And we love the game so much. We want to see it continue to be the great game that we all know and love, and why we have thousands of people watching episodes 7 months outside of the season. Like, that's why, you know, I mean, we're in the heat of basketball and baseball right now, but 88,000 people only show up for one sport in Auburn, Blake. So
and look, we know Auburn football. We know it matters, bro. We're sitting here in March talking about it, and we're about to go into March Madness and be a top four seed, maybe a five seed, probably on that four line. And we're sitting here talking about football because you want to know why? It's what Auburn's passionate about. Like, we're passionate fans and we want to get back to what we used to be, and we love it. So we don't want to see the game change, bro. Like, we're big. Look, we were teenagers when 2004 happened. And like I tell people all the time, everybody's like, oh, Caleb Williams this, Caleb Williams that. Man, would Cadillac and Ronnie, would they have sat out their bowl game against Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl? Would Jason Campbell look at that Auburn team and say, ah, you know what? The season's over, dog. We're just not playing. You know, that's how times have changed. And we want to go back to the old times. We want to go back to Major Wright in 2008 when Oklahoma, Sam Bradford threw the ball down the sideline and Major Wright absolutely cleaned his clock. That's the times I want to go back to, dog. Like, I want to get back to the old style of football and the way it used to be. This stuff nowadays is just soft, bro. It's taking the fun out of it. And now I saw somebody in the comment section talking about the 14-team playoff. We ain't even played 12-team playoff yet. And we're already talking about 14-team playoff. Like, I mean, it's
arguments over who gets bids and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Have some good comments that I wanted to get to real quick though, guys. Y'all already know the deal. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Barner Supply Company. Check the link in the description, y'all. Go holler at our guys over there at the Barner Supply Company. Good Auburn people. They love Auburn. They got fire merch, unique merch that you're only going to find there. Good stuff, man. I got the shirt right here, Blake. Got it in last week. Looks real nice. So go ahead and tap that link. Barner Supply Company is right there in the video description. Make sure that you use that link specifically to let them know that we sent you. It would help us out a whole bunch. And then, Blake, these memberships are popping off, man. We're adding new members every single week, brother. Yeah. Talk to the people. Tell them what we got going on, man.
Look, $3.99 a month, JV Squad. You can see it right there on your screen. Early access to videos. I usually give it about 12 hours for our JV squad members and varsity squad members. And that next day, the video will drop. We always do the member shout outs in the comments and everything like that. But the real one that you got to bump up to is the varsity squad, $5.99 a month. Man, my boy Dustin just did a Watch the Film Auburn basketball episode. We just posted that. He did a great job of that. Gameplay with you. I'll break this down for you. Go check out our new streaming channel on YouTube, The War Report Gaming. All right, me and Dustin will be streaming. We will be playing MLB The Show, NCAA, or excuse me, College Football 25, I should say, because the NBA, the NCAA is trash. Yeah, we don't want anything to do with them. Recruiting update videos. My boy Dustin stays on top of that. And we got one of the biggest game day group chats. I mean, that thing stays popping. We have a blast in there. And it's just all good vibes. We all get along. We all talk during the games and everything. It's fun. I really enjoy it. So that varsity squad, that's the one you got to go with, man. But, hey, if you go with JV, we're cool with that too. We love you. It's War Eagle till we die.
Yes, sir. And we still drop some pods in there for the JV guys as well to let them know that we love them. My pops is in the conversation. He says we're raising a bunch of puddings.
That's so true.
Hey, Pop's main mission was to make sure that he don't think I'm one. That was always his main mission.
That's it, bro.
Love you, Pop. Brad says he's hitting the Buc-ee's in Auburn tomorrow after checking out the Tuskegee Airmen site. Definitely sporting his Barner lid. Yeah, man. Like I said, click that link, get over there, rock that Barner lid, man. They're really good people, bro. They're good people and they're good Auburn people that care about Auburn. So you definitely want to help them out. Auburn Dad saying that it was him that said Batiste will hit the portal because someone, aka Cobb, is going to make him hit the portal, says Auburn Dad. We feel you, baby. And now up into a juicy one because we didn't get the really – well, I won't say we didn't get to talk about it. We kind of touched on it. But I've seen a lot of discussion coming out about these comments since Hugh Freeze made them. And I want to get up here. I got it. Okay, Greg, I told you he was going to get to you, brother. Greg says, so what do you think about Freeze's statement that it's Thorne's job to lose? How do you say that if it's a wide-open competition? Greg, I'm going to start here. Now, if you follow me on social media, you know that sometimes I say stuff that is true and I get accused of being a closet Bama fan. So, you know. Take it with a grain of salt. If you listen to the baseball and basketball content, you know I'm booging pretty damn hard on both of them teams right now. What I'm not going to do is boog about a football team that hasn't had a winning season in 3 years. I'm done with that, bro. I did that last year. So, Greg, I'm going to answer this for you best way I can. I don't think it's a QB competition. I don't. I think it is Peyton Thorne's job. I think that Peyton Thorne will trot his ass out there next year, and I think that it will get to a point in the middle of the season where there's no more excuses and they can't justify it, and they'll have to make a change. Now, we'll see how spring practice goes, and there's still a day, and, you know, I might have to back off that. That's not like a hard stance. It's not a hill I'm dying on. But as we stand right now, Greg, I think that the notion that it is a real competition is just a lie. I think that statement told you just about what you needed to know. I think he didn't mean to say it that way, but it's his job to lose. So that means he's starting somewhere else. That means not everyone's got the same starting block then. If it's his job to lose, well, that means he's in possession of the job. So no, and we haven't seen a real QB competition at Auburn since I don't know when. So you want me to think there's one now? No. We'll believe it when we see it. But you named a starting quarterback last year because he was pressing. Y'all, I'm out on the QB whisperer crap. We'll see. But nah, this is Peyton Thorne's job until I see otherwise. And I think, Greg, you're going to see bad Peyton Thorne performances before we finally get to that point. Hope I'm wrong on that.
I think that is kind of what he had to say. Played last year. You started last year. You want Peyton Thorne to be looked at as a leader. So if you come out and say it's an open quarterback competition, do you lose some guys? Where's the team at? You know,
Ronnie makes that point right here, Blake.
Which I don't think he has a choice but speak that way. I don't like it. But the reality is, if you name one of the tiers ahead of him, MPT, Holden, and PT are both gone. Yeah. Exactly. And why wouldn't it be his job? Let's be honest. I know he played bad. All right. I know he played. What I really want to say, I'm not going to say, but I'm going to keep it down. But there's NIL money at Peyton Thorne. There is games played under Peyton Thorne. Hugh brought him in from Michigan State. And he's saying, hey, look, right now, it is his job to lose. Can he lose it? Absolutely, he can lose the job. But he is going to get the reps out the gate until he shows otherwise that it's just not him and we can't go that direction. I think that's what he meant. I know it sounded bad, and the Auburn fan base just blew up, and oh, it's PT's job to lose. Here we go again. It is his job to lose. It is. And I know it sucks, but we've talked about it. And we got to see if this receiving core can help PT out. All right. Because there's plays that we can turn back to from last year and we can say, hey, that could have won us that game. I remember a play right now in the Iron Bowl right before half. PT hit Rivaldo Fairweather right in the hands at the 50.
He stepped out of bounds.
And then, yeah, the first or second play of the game, he hits Rivaldo on a little comeback, and Rivaldo steps out of bounds.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the one up the middle. Yeah,
I'm talking about when Rivaldo had the little post. He had the little post at the 50, yeah. And PT put it right on his hands, hit him right in the basket, bro, and he dropped it. So I look at that stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe Hugh sees that, and he's like, it is his job. But we got to see him lose it first. We got to see him lose it first. Am I 100% sold on him? No, I'm not. I saw a lot last year, especially in that bowl game. That pick six and the one at Vandy were horrible. They were horrible. He can say that he didn't see the DB at Vandy because of the shadows or whatever. I don't buy that for a second. That was a predetermined throw. It was predetermined. He knew where he was throwing it before he ever snapped the football. The pick six against Maryland, go back and watch the film. I believe it was Camden Brown on the slant. It's an option. It's an option throw right there. Option route, all right? You got Camden on the slant. I think it was Caleb that ran the out. I believe it was. All right? He threw it to the out. They jumped it. It was to the house, all right? And if you go back and you watch, Camden is on the slant, bro, and he's wide open. He's literally standing in the middle of the field, hands up, saying, hey, here I am. That right there tells me, bro, it's predetermined. Peyton has already got it in his mind. Hey, I'm throwing that ball there. So that's the thing I think we got to see differently in the spring, working through the summer and getting into fall camp. But do I think he's the starter right now? Yes. But can he lose it? Yes, he can. He can lose the job. Let's see A-Day. Let's see A-Day. Because I'm with Dustin on this too. I think A-Day should be one-on-ones. Like, let's go best on best. I don't want to see none of this. Well, this team gets a 20-point lead and we're playing, two deep versus starters and all this. I don't want to see all that stuff. I want to see best on best. Let's line up and let's see what we got as a football team. Period. And if he don't show any improvement in that A-Day game, I'm out. I got to see improvement, and I got to see it, what is it, April 6th?
Yeah.
I got to see it April 6th. You got to show me something, period.
Yeah, see, so here's my thing with the way I think this is going to go. I think there will be days where Peyton Thorne's the best quarterback. So I think that that's going to give them reasons to start him. It's not that I'm saying, like, he's going to suck the whole camp. He's going to be terrible, but they're just going to start him because he's got the NIL money. No. I think he's going to have days where he is the best and he shows the most command of the offense and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, he's also going to have days where he's not the best. You're going to have days where you're like, man, there were two or three guys that were better than him today. What in the world was that? And I think that's just him. Like, you've got enough. The book's out on PT, man. And does he have a Jason Campbell moment? Maybe. But I'm tired of doing that song and dance with every Auburn quarterback that struggles the first couple of years. Well, you remember Jason Campbell? Yeah, and I remember TJ Finley too, man. So you kind of miss me with that. And I remember Bo Nix having to go all the way to Oregon and then all of a sudden becoming the five-star. Like, I just don't have any. You know who I believe in? Walker White. You know when I believe in him? About 2026. Yeah. That's is where I'm at with it, bro. That's just where I'm at. I hate to be that way, but man, I mean, it's Auburn's where the passing game's gone to die.
Yeah.
It's 2024, and you've had two guys, two pass for over 3,000 yards. And I'm supposed to think that Peyton Thorne's gonna come in right here and all of a sudden be this dude. Man, no, bro. I don't think that, because I'm going to tell you why I'm a problem solver. See, I danced around a lot of this last offseason. I'm not this year. Scared. This is what I think. I think there are days when Peyton Thorne wakes up in Fayetteville in his hotel and says, I'm trucking people today. Watch me today. And then I think there are days like the one I watched in Nashville where I'm staring at this dude looking for a sign of life at any moment. Down one touchdown, down two touchdowns, down three touchdowns. And I don't see nothing. Nothing.
Yep.
I'll tell you why. Because Lil Boosie got a song called No Juice. PT got no juice, bro. And until I see otherwise, and you know, I'm not attacking the kid because he's early to mid-20s at this point, and he's got more money than I'm going to see anytime soon. So I'm just speaking facts on it, bro. I'm just speaking facts. I'm praying to God that Peyton Thorne or Hank Brown or Holden Garner come in this time and take it, because I'm not a believer, bro. I'm not, and he can come out and play two, three games to start the year, and I'm still going to be pretty damn skeptical. I got to see you. What I saw that night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
You showed me something, bro. And because it didn't flip, because I thought it flipped, because I thought it flipped in Fayetteville. And then what you were in Baton Rouge showed up again in Nashville when a winning season was on the line. And I know that for a lot of them guys, it didn't matter. It was just a Music City Bowl. But I know about 60,000 Auburn fans that said in 30-degree weather that did want to have a winning freaking season for the first time in a little bit. That did want to say, hey, we won the Music City Bowl. And I can't count on a guy that's played 3 years as a starting quarterback to get out there and get the job done. I'm out, man. I'm out, and there's nothing, Blake, that's going to sell me on it.
One thing I'll say to this, bro, I don't want to – if you get on the field, Drexel, dog, if you're out there, you're out there. Hey, MJ game six, bro. That man hooping. If you suit up and play, all right, if you suit up and play, dog, you're 100. All right, you 100. hey, my dad always used to say there's a difference between being hurt and being injured, dog. All right? There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. All right? If you're sick and you can't go, then don't go. But if you strap it up and you go out there, you're fair game, brother. You're fair game. And that's how it goes. You know, I hate it, but look, my thing with PT is what Dustin said is the juice, dog, like the leadership. He's quiet, and it's just, you see Walker White doing interviews with Mike G. You see Walker White at basketball games. You see Walker White dancing around campus and doing all this stuff, and all I see is a five-second clip of Peyton Thorne at the bowling alley going, what's up? I don't see it. I don't see it. But that's just me, man. I got to see that dog. I got to see, like Martin said, I got to see that dog. But look, I'm going to cut it. I know we got to go watch basketball. Love y'all. Baseball, 1 p.m. tomorrow. Dustin, get us out of here, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey, we love each and every single one of you guys. Like Blake mentioned a little bit earlier, if you are into video games, go check out the War Report Gaming thing. It takes a lot of stuff to kind of get together that kind of channel. We're doing all that, man. We've got a ton of content that we're dropping over there. Join the memberships if you are interested in doing that. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We will be back later in the week. Let's go get a basketball dub. We'll see each and every one of you guys later on. War Damn Eagle, man. We're out of here.
War damn, baby. Beat Mizzou. Let's go.